Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on daf gimel, 9 lines from the bottom. The gemara makes reference to the numbers that we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah that opened our Masechta mentioned Ho'isha Niknes B'Sholosh Drochim. And it also said V'Kina Esatzmo B'Shtei Drochim. So numbers, when they appear, imply that these are the ways and not something else. So that the number opening the Mishnah and the subsequent reference to a number, 2, we saw, what are they coming to exclude? If you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice some markings. We have an Aleph and Beis, we have a double underline, and if you look to the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A double underline appears, and Aleph, Minyona de Reisha Lemutei Mai, and Beis, Minyona de Seifa Lemutei Mai. What does the number, in this case it's 3, 3 ways that a woman is married, is acquired in a marital bond, 3 ways yes, something else not. And Mishnah also mentioned, in 2 ways, she is Kaina es Atzma, apparently, but another way, she is not Kaina es Atzma. Now the Gemara. Minyona de Reisha Lemutei Mai. The number in the Reisha, namely 3 Drachim, is coming to exclude what? And Minyona de Seifa Lemutei Mai. And the reference to 2 ways in which a woman acquires her independence is coming to exclude what? Minyona de Reisha Lemutei Chupa. The 3 mentioned in the Reisha that there are 3 ways in which a woman can be acquired. We mentioned that we're using the word acquired in out of convention. It means it's a reference to establishing a marital bond. That's to the exclusion of chuppah, which would mean that if a man were to take a woman, a penuyah, an unmarried woman, and say, let us walk under this marriage canopy. A chuppah is a marriage canopy. And with this, you are now going to be married to me. Our Mishnah is suggesting that would not work because it's not one of the 3 methods. So the 3 comes to exclude chuppah. The Gemara asks, Ula Rav Huna diyamar chuppah kina mikal v'chomer. Rav Huna, and this is discussed at greater length on Daf Hey, he says that chuppah is an effective means of establishing a marital bond. And he comes to that conclusion through Kal V'chomer logic, so that chuppah is a method of establishing the initial stage of marriage. So what does the 3 in our Mishnah exclude? Lim'utei Mai, what is being excluded according to Rav Huna? Answer, Lim'utei Chalipin, to the exclusion of the Chalipin method of acquisition. In general, let us say I was interested in acquiring an article, whatever article, some type of portable, and I say I want to buy your car. So I can offer you a cloth, a piece of fabric, a sudar. Sometimes we refer to it nowadays as a handkerchief, a cloth handkerchief. And by your taking from me the cloth handkerchief, I get in exchange your car. That's a method of acquisition. By when we speak about a method of acquisition, it means that it clinches the deal. You through doing that, you then become the owner of the article. So our Mishnah, by saying in three ways a bond is established, that's to the exclusion of a kinyan chalipin. Why do I need to be taught that? Why would I have thought something else? Would I have thought without this reference in the Mishnah, this allusion in the Mishnah to its ineffectiveness, would I have thought that it should work? Yes. Salko daita chamina. I would have thought, Hail v'gomar kicho kicho mistei Ephraim. Since we learned that kesef works through a word comparison, we learned that money works. This was a point discussed in our previous shiur, that money is a legitimate means of clinching a deal. In this case, we're talking about clinching a marital relationship. And that was derived through a word comparison between marriage, the topic of marriage, ki yikach ishisha, that's the pasuk here, and the pasuk that dealt with Avraham Avinu's acquisition of the stay Ephron, the field of Ephron, which contained the moras machpelah. Ma sode mekanya b'chalipin. Well, just like a field can be acquired also through chalipin, through that method, the handkerchief method. Af ishonami miknei chalipin. I would have thought that a woman can be acquired, a marital bond can be established through chalipin. Kamash malon, the number in our Mishnah, by saying three methods work, to the exclusion of chalipin. Of course, according, that's necessary, we're saying this within Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who already demonstrated that the list in the Mishnah is not exclusive, because chuppah is also a means of acquisition. So what is not a means of acquisition, as suggested by the number? Chalipin. Question, ve'ema hochinami. Well, let us say, in fact, that chalipin does work. Just like it works to acquire a field, and we saw through the word comparison that was an important source for establishing that money works, let it be a source for chalipin as also being effective in establishing a marital bond. The Gemara says, not so. Chalipin, isnehu b'pochus mishova pruta, visha b'pochus mishova pruta, loi, we continue at the top of Amid Beis, lo mekanya nafsha. Chalipin, we mentioned, is the handkerchief, the piece of cloth that a person might take. It could be what exactly is the qualifications of what can serve as chalipin? That's discussed elsewhere in the Gemara. But for our purposes, without studying out now the fourth parak of Bava Metzia, where it's elaborated on, just recognize that the cloth or the instrument of chalipin can be something of very little significance. It can have a value of something less than a shoveh pruta. Shoveh pruta being the minimum amount of currency. The chalipin can be worth less than that. It's beneath the dignity of a woman, of womankind, to give herself over to marriage for something worth less than a shoveh pruta. And that's what the Gemara meant when it said that chalipin exists, works, it's effective with an article that's worth less than a shoveh pruta, but a woman, v'isha b'pochus v'shoveh pruta, lo mekanya nafsha, she will not give herself over for something worth less than a shoveh pruta. As we said, it's beneath her dignity. Rashi at the top says, Lo mekanya nafsha de genai hu la. It's beneath her dignity. It's belittling to give yourself over for something worth so little. Hilkach botil la l'toras chalipin bekidushin. Therefore, the concept of chalipin, even though it's a means of clinching deals in general, it's void with regard to marriage. V'afilu bekli sheyesh bo shoveh pruta. And here Rashi is telling us a chiddush. let us say that you used something of significant value, at least a shave pruta, and you gave that to the woman, yoyiv lo b'loshen chalipin, if you gave it to her using the terminology that one would use when conducting a deal in a chalipin form, we would say that it's as Rashi says, it's botila. It won't work in kiddushin, even if you're using a vessel that has value. Ad yoyev lo b'toras loshen kinyan o kicha o kiddushin, unless you give it to her using the language of kinyan, kicha, or kiddushin. We speak about kiddushin. Harei at mikudeshesli b'klize, or one of the other expressions, but not if you use an expression that would indicate that you're using the chalipin method. There's quite a bit more detail to understanding chalipin. We're not going to delve into that topic. One, of course, will see this discussed in many other sugyas in the Shas. Let's continue in the Gemara. Minyona de Seifa Limute Chalitza. The Mishnah mentioned that in two ways a woman acquires her freedom. That two ways is to the exclusion of chalitza, meaning a married woman, if she were, let us say, to remove the shoe of her husband and expect that to enable her to gain freedom, so our Mishnah is telling you it will not work. Well, without the Mishnah, the number in the Mishnah, would you have thought that it should work? So Mor says, yeah, I would have thought it works. And so, I would have thought that you can create a divorce through chalitza, through kal v'chomer logic, from the topic of yavama. Ma, now, yavama we mentioned, we explained in our previous year, the levirate marriage, a woman who becomes a widow from a husband that died leaving no children, she is a yavama. She is expected to be married by her surviving brother-in-law, her husband's brother. If the Yavam doesn't want to marry her, so she removes his shoe, and there are more details to the ceremony. We don't have to get into it now, but that's a method of freeing her from the Yibum bond. Otherwise, if she doesn't go through that ceremony, she is restricted. She cannot marry anyone. So we can make a Kal v'chomer from Yibum, leading us to think that chalitza, which is the method of freedom for a yavama, should also be a legitimate method of freedom for a married woman. What's the logic? Ma yavama she'eino yoytze beget yoytze bechalitza. A yavama, the widow awaiting the brother-in-law, if he were to give her a divorce document, according to Torah law, that's meaningless. And yet, chalitza is effective. Zu, a regular married woman, she yoytze beget. There she can be dismissed through a get. Eino din she yoytze bechalitza. Well, then all the more so, chalitza should be effective. What's the logic saying? We find that chalitza is effective even in situations where a get is ineffective. Where a get is effective, certainly chalitza should be effective. Kamash malon, our Mishnah, specifically the number in the Seifa, tells us no. Let us say that it does work, that chalitza is a method of divorce. Omar Kra, the pasuk in the Torah describing divorce says sefer krisus. The pasuk says v'kosav lo sefer krisus, and the husband who wants to divorce his wife shall write for her a sefer krisus, which we refer to as he shall write for her a get. And we learn from this sefer korsa, only a document that's written out, the get document, korsa, breaks her off, severs the marriage relationship. The ein dover achir korsa, but nothing else is able to do that, meaning not chalitza. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei klali, a general topic heading. Minolam lekinyone isha, from where do we know the different methods of acquisition as being effective? In our note on the side, we indicate kesef will be alluded to, the source for kesef's effectiveness for money, or money, or an item of value. offered to the woman in exchange for her acceptance of your marriage proposal is discussed on Daf Gimel Amid Beis, right over here, and also on Daf Dal Amid Beis. Bia, intimacy, is discussed on Daf Dalet Amid Beis, and also on Daf Tes Amid Beis. Shtar, a document in which a man says, writes, Harei At Mikudeshes Li, and hands her the document, that's an effective means of establishing a marriage, as discussed on Daf Hei Omid Aleph. The immediate topic heading, we've noted on the side, under the Nosei heading, Minayin number one, Shemekachim Bekesef. From where do we know that a marriage bond can be established through money, through offering her money, or something of money value? And point number two, V'kidushei kesef shel ketana v'nara noisim lavia. And from where do you know that the money that a man offers for marriage, in the case of the marriage of a minor, where her father has a Torah right to give his daughter over in marriage, from where do you know that the money in that case goes to the father? How do you know in the case of a marriage of a na'ara? Na'ara is a woman, a girl, between age 12 and 12 and a half. From where do you know that money in her marriage is given to the father? Now, the Gemara. We mentioned in the Mishnah, Bekesef minolon. From where do we know that kesef is effective in establishing a marital bond? Vesuha disnan, and furthermore, that which is taught in the following Tanaic source. Ha'av zakai bebito bekidushel bekesef ishtar b'vi. A father has the right to give his daughter over in marriage through money being offered, or a document, or intimacy. Minolon to mekanya bekesef. From where do we know that kesef is effective? Vekesef diavuahu. And from where do we know that the money, in the case of a marriage where the father is giving his daughter over into marriage, there's a little more to that than we're saying right now, but how do you know in those cases that the money goes to her father? We have a structural note, the mivneh, that you'll notice in the margin. Look carefully and you'll see a bow tie featured, and we indicate the bow ties that you see on this page. Notice one immediately, more than halfway down you see a second one, the bottom line, a third one. These are shlosha shlovim, three stages, shel tshuvas, three stages of answers. La shela shel minayin v'kesef she'lovi'op. From where do we know that kesef is effective and that it goes to her father? The triangle marking that will appear shortly is explained. These will be kushios she'toychanon, whose content or the subject of the questions is shehei hakesef shel hayalda v'lo lavia. Suggestions why, or questions why do the sources insist that in the marriage of a ktana or a nara, the money, the marriage money, goes to the father and not to the girl? Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yudah Marav. We're answering the questions of how do you know that kesef works and that the money goes to a father. So Rav Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah in quoting Rav, Domar Kroh, he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is found by a Jewish girl who is, some people would translate it as sold into slavery, but it's a work situation in which a father gives his daughter and gets paid. It's a type of sale or hiring arrangement where a Jewish girl works for a master, she works as a servant. After her father had sold her, had given her over to a Jewish master. That's the case of Amo Ivriya. These are all laws that are referred to in the Torah, and amongst the laws are that she leaves her obligated work arrangement when she reaches 12, when she reaches Na'ara status. And when she leaves, she goes out for free, meaning that she leaves the work arrangement and that the master does not get paid. So the pasuk says, "V'yotze chinam ein kosef." Now, "V'yotze chinam" means she goes out for free, meaning that she gains her freedom without anyone having to pay for it. Why does the pasuk, after saying chinam, which means for free, why does it say ein kosef, means without money? That's redundant. So the presence of the word ein kosef is there for a drusha. It's here to teach us something, and we learn as follows: ein kesef l'adon zeh. This master, upon her departure, gets no money. Avo yesh kesef l'adon acher, umay niu af. There's another type of master. That's a father. He's considered the master of his minor daughter. In that case, when she leaves his domain, there is money. That's a reference to the money that's paid to the father in exchange for her being married to some man that's offering her this marriage. So what do we see from this? We see that money clinches the deal. The inference from the pasuk v'yotze chinam ein kosef, we learn that money clinches the deal, and that the money goes to the father. The Gemara asks, v'yema ledida. Rashi across from here says, v'yema ledida have a high kesef. But to say that the money that's alluded to in this pasuk, that we're inferring from this pasuk, that the money is paid to the girl. The halach, see if it doesn't say explicitly, ein lo kesef. When it said v'yotze chinam ein kosef, it doesn't say v'yotze chinam, the bondmaid goes out ein lo kesef, that he does not get the money, which would have been grounds for inferring the teiduk mina, that we would have been able to infer ein kesef l'adon zeh v'chule, but in the v'chule etc. means but yesh kesef l'adon acher, the father. That's not what it says though. Elo hachidot mina. All that you could infer from the pasuk, we think, at this point, is ein kesef b'yitziyazu. With the exiting of the bondmaid, of the Jewish bondmaid, here there is no money. Aval yesh kesef b'yitziyah acheres, there is money in another exit, namely in the marriage of a girl, in the marriage of the minor to the husband. There is money where the husband pays. U'l'olam l'dida, but he pays, good, he pays, but he pays to the girl, not to the father. So we're not convinced at this stage that we have any conclusive evidence, conclusive proof that the money is paid to the father. The Gemara responds, Hachi Hashta. There in Maseches Ksubas, the word Hachi doesn't appear, and it's easier actually to read the Gemara without that. You would read it with a wonderment as follows: Hashta avia mekabel kidushel ve'ihi shatlo kaspa. It's a type of logical problem in suggesting that she should get the money. Once we establish, the Torah tells us that the father is mekabel kidushel, means the father is the one to give her over into marriage. So he's controlling her being married to someone else. What, she should get the money? What is he give her over for nothing? And in the brackets we read, once you say that the father is going to receive her kiddushin, means he is the one to accept from the man the offer of marriage on her behalf. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, in the case of motzi shemra. It's another topic in the Torah where the father declares, "Es biti nosati lishazeh, I've given my daughter to this man." So you see from here that the father is the one that gives his daughter over. Vi shakla kaspa, she's going to get the money, as we said before, and Rashi points this out. Rashi says, "Vi tishkla kaspa bitmiha." You read it with wonderment. Do you think that the Torah gives the father the right to give his daughter over in marriage in exchange for nothing, that he doesn't receive anything? The Gemara says, well, that's a logical point, that's we can accept that, but Viemo, we have a question. Hani mili ktano, the less loyad lekabel kiddushin. This idea that the father gets the marriage money, I can appreciate that with regard to a minor. A minor, she doesn't have a yad. That means she doesn't have legal powers for clinching deals. However, avonara, a girl, once she reaches 12 years old, she's considered an adult. She's bound by all the mitzvahs in the Torah. And she can also establish deals. She can make deals. The islo yad, the kabel kiddushin. She could, on her own, receive kiddushin. That means if a man approaches a na'ara, 12-year-old, between 12 and 12 and a half is a na'ara, and ask her, would you accept marriage in exchange for what I'm giving you? And she says yes. So a na'ara has the yad, she has the inherent power to establish marriage on her own behalf. Taktish ihi nafsha v'tishkol kaspa. Let it be that she is marrying herself off and she should receive the money. And yet we don't say that. We say that in a na'ara marriage between 12 and 12 and a half, the father will get the money. Where do we learn that from? So here we come to stage 2. Omar kro binureo besovia. That's a pasuk which we're just going to look at face value, and we darshan binureo besovia kol shvach nurim lovia. All profits, all income, all benefits during ne'urim, during the na'ara period of life, lovia goes to our father. The Gemara asks a question. Notice we have a long question. We're still looking for a source, and we've become kind of specific now. We're looking for a source. We've established that money works to establish a marriage. But where do we know that the money in a na'ara marriage goes to the father? The thinking right now is we have a pasuk binura besavia. However, we have a long question. Elaha diomar ravuna omar rav. Minayin shemaisa habas la'av. From where do you know that income that a na'ara, bas means a daughter, but here we're talking about a na'ara. From where do you know that the income produced by a na'ara goes to the father? Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'chi yimkor ish es bito lo'oma. That's the pasuk, which deals with a man selling his daughter to become an oma, to become a Hebrew bondmaid. The pasuk, actually Rashi, 3 lines before the end of the narrow lines, lo'oma, kro yaseirahu. There's an extra element in this pasuk, v'dorish lei bito hare hilo kama. Ubabito na'ara ashminen. The revelation in this pasuk is regarding a daughter that's a na'ara. Dibiktana loitzterich. I don't need this pasuk to describe laws regarding an actual minor. Hashda zvuni mazvin law, maisi adel mibaya. A man can sell his minor daughter, so all the more so he's entitled to any income that she produces while she is in his own home. So this drasha is referring to that which is not as obvious. A father, by the way, does not have a right to sell his daughter once she is a na'ara, once she reaches the adulthood. He doesn't have a right to sell her. Yet we derive from this pasuk as follows. Ma amo, just like in the case of a bondmaid, maisi adel rabo, her income goes to the one that acquired her, we call her rabo, her master. Af ba, so to a daughter, a na'ara, nami maisi adel avia, her income will go to her father. So that is how Rav Huna, Amar Rav, knows that the income produced by a na'ara, girl between 12 and 12 and a half living in her father's house, whatever income she produces goes to her father. Well, Tepuk Le, could it not be that Rav Huna or Rav should have learned or could have learned Mibunura Beisavia? That pasuk that we darshaned as a source for our issue concerning marriage money going to father, Binurah Beisaviyah. Why doesn't Rav Huna Amar Rav say that from Binurah Beisaviyah all Shvach Ne'urim, all income goes to our father? But yet he didn't use that pasuk. Hello? Well, I'll tell you why not. Behaforas Nidorim Hu Dichtiv. The pasuk that says Binurah Beisaviyah is a pasuk, if you look at it in context, is found regarding the father's rights to annul his daughter's vows. It is not a source for Maiseh Habas Lovia, for income of daughters going to father. So the pasuk of Bin Rebbe Savia Bahaforas Nedorim Hu Dichtiv, Hachinami Bahaforas Nedorim Hu Dichtiv. By the same token, when we're looking for a source for money of Kiddushin of a Nara going to the father, we can't use Binu Rav Beisavia. That pasuk is talking about the realm of a father's rights to annul his daughter's vows. So we're questioning what we had presented at stage 2, at bow tie number 2. What's the source that a father gets the marriage money offered to his daughter, the Na'ara? Well, and now we have a double underline. One of our series markings on the side under the Mivneh structural note, you see, it says V'chi Tema. That's what you see highlighted. Hatzos Shinitchos. These are suggestions that will each one will be rejected. The Gemara says, why should we reject number 2, Bota number 2, Binu El Vesofia, V'chi Tema? You might say, Neilaf Mine. Just like a father can annul his daughter's vows, so too a father is entitled to his daughter's marriage money, the Nara's marriage money. The one says, no, that type of logic, that comparison is ineffective. Momona meisura lo yalfin, and you're dealing with different realms of halacha, of legal thought. There's one realm called Momona. Money matters. In this case, the money matters are the father's rights to profit from the marriage money given in her marriage. That's the realm of Mamon. May Isur, to derive those laws from the realm of Isur, of laws of concerning prohibition, which under which category, under whose category is listed Nidorim, vows. They're different realms. So we say laws like Kesef Kiddushin from laws that concern Nidorim, that concern vows, Lo Yalfino. You do not derive one from the other. V'chitema Neilef Miknosa. Let us learn from another topic. A girl who experiences Oinus, who's raped. There are certain details concerning the age, etc., but we don't have to get into those details. Just recognize that there is something in the Torah called Ones, and the Torah describes when a girl is raped, so the father gets paid. He gets money. He gets 50 shekel kesef. So let us learn, just like in the realm of knas, the knas of Ones, the father gets the money. So too, in the case of marriage, offered to the Nara, the father gets the money. Once again, you have the situation of different realms. It's true that both are dealing with cash, but they are nevertheless considered different realms. Knas is a realm that we call a chiddush. It's novel. It's a realm of law that you certainly wouldn't have thought of on your own. It's a unique area of halacha. The fact that a father is paid 50 pieces of kesef simply because his daughter was raped, that's called knas. And that is one realm of thought, and mamona, which is in our case the money paid for the marriage, that is not derived from knas. So that even though a father gets the 50 shekel kesef the Torah refers to, there, I don't know from that the father would be entitled to the marriage money of his daughter, the Nara. V'chitema Nelof mi boishes ubegam. We made reference to the rape. We also made reference to 50 pieces of silver, chamishim shekel kesef, that the Torah says is to be paid to the father. That payment is only partial, because the father also is paid for the boishes, literally the embarrassment she experiences, the defaming, the vilification that is involved when a girl is raped. Pagam is an amount that has to do with her depreciation. In other words, before the rape, if a man were to offer his daughter to marriage, a person would pay more money than for a girl that was raped. So there's an element of depreciation. Those values, the boshes and begam, are not knas. Those are actual monetary mammon type payments, and they're paid to the father. So why not learn from that to the case of marriage money? The Gemara says, "Shiny boshes begam." So I cannot derive father getting marriage money from the fact that father gets boshes begam payments. Why? Davua shayach begavayu. The father has an integral relationship with the realm of Boishas of Hagam. That's a bit abstract. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The Avua Shach Mevayo, Sheesh Lo Din Chelek Bohen. The father, by letter of the law, is entitled to Boishas of Hagam. Sheesh Biyod Levaish of Hogma, Bishvil Mamun Shiut Nulo. The father can actually, legally create, in exchange for money, her boishes, her embarrassment, her vilification, her pagam, her depreciation, all in exchange for money and all legally. How is that? The boy mosar lo lemenuvel mukashrin. A father could, it's not a very kindly thing to do, but he could give her over into marriage to people that are physically afflicted with all kinds of diseases and bodily decay, menuvel umukashin. A woman who's married to people like that, tahavila boisha supagam, that is in effect a case of boisha supagam, a marriage to people like that. The ano ze shebo'aleo mechatser momon ze shezilzalo. And this rapist that raped her, he now caused the father to lose out on those values that he could have achieved had she not been raped. So in that area, we see that the rapist caused the father a direct loss of money that he would have otherwise been able to receive in exchange for her marriage. So I can't learn from Boshes Magam. I can't learn marriage money of a Nara daughter going to father from that area. Ella, so here the Gemara at stage 3 reverts back to the Pasuk cited in stage 1. We saw the Pasuk said V'yotza chinom ein kosef, and contrary to what we said before, that we thought you can't derive from that pasuk that the father should be the one to get the money, we're going to now say that you can derive that from that pasuk the father is the one to get the money. Elamistabra dechika memait. When we make the inference alluded to in the pasuk that described a Jewish bondmaid leaving her master. The Gemara continues at the top of the Avdalah Rav Aleph, Yitziah dekavasa komemayit. Yitziah means an exit, freedom from. We're good. We're drawing an inference. Freedom from that master is one way, and the departure from the father's realm is in another way. Rashi at the top elaborates. Yitzia de kavasol komemai. Yitzias erusin, the departure from father's realm through marriage, dumya, yitzias amal, is similar in a sense to the exiting from the domain of a master in the case of the Jewish bondmaid. And the, I should say, similar meaning, we're going to infer from that komemayit midin amo. The yitzias erison is going to be excluded or inferred in an exclusionary fashion from the exiting in the case of the amo. Ulameimar, to say as follows, the yesh kesef bo, in the case of the exiting in erusin from into marriage, there is money, but the money that exists in the case of erusin is in contrast to the lack of money in the case of the bondmaid, as follows: Umay itzias amo ivriya ein kesef. The pasuk says there that she goes out free. But what do, when we say she goes out free, there's a little more to the story there. She goes out free. Her master does not get money. So now we're going to infer from that description, af miut de yesh kesef de kodaikis the yitzias erusin. So too regarding the inference that in the case of marriage that there is money paid in her departure from her father's realm. Yesh kesef lemishi yotzeh himenu ka'amar. Here there is money paid to the one whom she is leaving from. Vainuav, and who is she leaving from? From her father. The Gemara asks, but still there's an imbalance. How can I infer from a departure of the case of the Am Ivriya to the case of marriage for leaving father's domain? V'holo damyo ha-yitzio la-ha-yitzio. One, the exit from father is not comparable to the exit of the Amo of the Jewish bondmaid. Hosom nafkalo mirshus odoin legamri v'hocho akati mechsero mitzio. In the case of the Am Ivriya, she leaves the master's realm totally. She has no connection to that owner whatsoever. And in the case of the daughter leaving the father's domain, akati mechsera mesira l'chupa, the father may, there is money paid, but that only establishes the first stage. She doesn't leave the father's realm completely until chupa, until the consummation of the marriage. Until that girl goes under a marriage canopy with her husband. The Gemara says there is, however, room to make the parallel, and hence giving grounds for the inference. I can make an inference from a topic where otherwise everything is balanced. And so the Gemara says, "B'haforas nedora mionafkalo mirshusay." Disnan, Nar Hamurasa Avio Baila Mefir Nedoreha. Up till the point of marriage, the father, of course we're dealing with a girl up till 12 and a half years of age. So the Nara's vows up till the point that money was given for her marriage, the father had exclusive control over those vows. He could annul the vows. He can annul them on his own. However, once she becomes a Nara Hamurasa, once money is paid for establishing the first stage of marriage, the father no longer has exclusive control over her vows. The father now works as a shutev, as a partner with her husband. The law is that a Nara Hamurasa, a girl between age of 12 and 12 and a half, that vowed that happened to have received that money was paid for her marriage, her vows can be annulled only through the joint efforts of her father and her husband. So in that sense, she leaves the father's realm completely as a father. It's true the father is still involved, but he's involved with a new identity. He's now a shutuf. So regarding fatherliness, she completely left his realm with regard to vow annulment. The Gemara asks, we've now established till this point that v'yotza chinam ein kosef is going to be our source for marriage money going to father. So the Gemara asks, v'yotza chinam loch yudasa, is the purpose of the Torah writing that pasuk to teach us this, to teach us that the money of a marriage of the girl goes to the father? Ha'mi boyel leilich d'tanya, I need it for a different purpose. Now, once again, this pasuk, v'yotza chinam ein kosef, is a reference to the Hebrew bondmaid leaving the realm of her Jewish master. I need it for the following, disanya, v'yotza chinam elu yemei bagrus, ein kosef elu yemei narus. Without getting into details, because the Gemara will dwell on this pasuk later on, will dwell on this drasha later on, but in the meantime, the pasuk is teaching that she goes free not only once she reaches 12 and a half years of age, but she goes free from age 12. Elu yemei narus, from the age of narus she goes free. So how can you say that the pasuk v'yotza chinam ein kosef is going to teach me about marriage money going to father? Its purpose is to teach me when a Hebrew bondmaid goes free from her master. Omar Ravino, Ravino answers, Im kein leimokro ein kosef. Notice the word ein is spelled without a yud, but that's not how it appears in the Torah. My ein kosef. The yud that appears in the word ein, what does that yud tell us? It enables us to darshan the law of marriage money going to father as well. Ein kesef lo don zeh, avol yesh kesef lo don acher. In the case of a bondmaid going free, so the master gets no payment. In another case, marriage of daughter, she goes free from her father, i.e. master's realm. There is money paid to that master, i.e. the father. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara we have a topic heading. They know say minayin shedarshinon ois yud the pasuk of yotzachinam and kosef. From where do you know that you pay attention to the yud in that word in order to darshan new halachas? The diamond that you'll see in the Gemara is explained under the mivneh heading. These are shlavim. These are stages lehochiyah hanal, to prove that the yud is available for drasha. The tanoim darshim hochi. First, we'll show you that in Tanaic sources there's evidence to such a drasha, and uminayin l'tana l'droshachin. From where does the Tana derive that the yud in the word ein is available for drasha? So it's very nice. We can show how Tanoim do that. Where is there proof that the yud is? It's like kind of extra, that I could have lived without the yud in that word. And the fact that the Almighty wrote the yud in is telling me, darshanet, derive new halachas, as we have already done. Now the Gemara. Umimai de darshin hachi, from where do you see? Because up till this point, the last speaker was Ravina. Ravina was an Amora. And he tells us that the yud clues us into this. Where does Ravino get that from? We have to find some earlier precedent, some Tanaic precedent. Disanyo, so we will give you that right now. This source quotes a pasuk dealing with the daughter of a Kohen who had been married to a non-Kohen husband. As a daughter of a Kohen pre-marriage, she's entitled to eat truma. Truma is the tithe given from one's produce to Kohanim. Only Kohanim are allowed to eat from it. The daughter of a Kohen is also entitled to eat from it. If she marries a non-Kohen, she's not allowed to eat from Truma. If the husband dies and there are no children, she goes back to her father's house. It's a figure of speech, and she is entitled once again to eat Truma. However, if the husband died but had children with her, in other words, she has children from the Yisrael, even though she's the daughter of a Kohen, she's not entitled to eat truma. She has descendants. She has children from her non-Kohen husband, even though he's dead. So the source says, Vizera ain law. The Bas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, can resume eating truma from her father's house if she has no children. No children from the Yisrael. Ain liela zara. From this, I would say that only her first generation children, her immediate her children, would be responsible for discontinuing her truma eating rights. Zera zara minayin. What about, let's say, her children died prematurely, but she has grandchildren. Grandchildren from the husband, the Yisrael husband. How do we know that they prevent her from resuming eating truma from her father's house? When we say her, we're referring to the Bas Kohen. Talmud Lomar, Zera Ein Law, Ayein Law. The Yud in that pasuk is available to Darshan. Ayein Law means look into her, not just check out this. Okay, she doesn't have children. Check out, does she have grandchildren? That's Ayein Law. Check in to subsequent generations. So I learned so far that immediate children discontinue her truma rights. Grandchildren do the same thing. V'ainliel zera kosher, zera posel minayin. From where do I know that zera posel, like a mamzer? Let's say she has a child. She's a bas kohen that happened to have a child that's a mamzer. How do we know that a child like that also prevents her from eating truma? Talmud Lomar, Zera Ein Law, Ayein Law. Check out, does she have any descendants, even if they happen to be posel, in their the disqualified, invalid type children? As when we say invalid, meaning in terms of mamzerus. The Gemara asks, this last point needs some clarification. You're saying that Zera Ein Law teaches me Zera Apostle that Mamzerim children can cause her to be unable to return to resume eating Truma, but Vaha Afikte Lezera Zara. But I already used that Pasuk Vezera Ein Law for teaching number one, for the first teaching in the Pasuk, namely Zera Zara. The Gemara says, I don't really need a pasuk for Zera Zara. Zera Zara lo itzterich kro. I don't need a special pasuk to describe the grandchildren as having the same, we'll say, powers over her as her own children. De b'nei bonim hare hein kebonim. The concept of grandchildren are like children is a well-known concept. It has its own sources. But for our purposes, once that is established, that b'nei bonim, arein kebonim, from other sources, when it comes to the issue of truma and the bas kohen being unable to resume eating of truma because of grandchildren, I don't need this pasuk of Ezera Ein Law to the yud. I don't need the yud to teach me that. Just like the simple reading of the pasuk makes reference to children from the Israel stop her from eating truma, by the same token, grandchildren will have the same effect. Ki itzterich krovi. What do I need the yud for? Lezera posel. That even illegitimate children that she has, that this bas kohen has from a non-kohen source, will result in her not resuming eating of truma. The Tana Gufei Minolei de Dor Shachi, the Tana himself, who was placing emphasis on the Yud, where does the Tana know that the Yud is available and it's not part of, we'll say, it's not an essential part of the basic simple word? How do you know that the Yud has this, say, extraneous characteristic to it? Amri. So we answer, Ksiv me'ein bil'om, who me'ein yivmi. Here we have two psukim where the word ein appears, indicating negation, something negative, and it's spelled without a yud. Bilam was described as refusing. That's negating. Negating to go with the emissary sent by Balak. And the Yavam, the woman declares, the Yavama declares, he does not want to marry me. That's also negation. So you have two times the word ein appears without the lo ksivu yud. V'hacha, in the pasuk of Vezera ein la, ksiv be yud. Shma mino, the drosh yud also. So from here the Tana can derive that the yud is available to derive new things, new points. And based on all of this, Ravina was able to say, back to the pasuk of Yotza Chinam Ein Kasef, that the yud in that word Ein Kasef Ein, the yud there is teaching me that the father is entitled to get the money for the marriage of his daughter. This all, by the way, was needed because we had thought that the Yotze Chinam really isn't available from which we can make the inference regarding marriage money, having seen that the Yotze Chinam Kosev is dealing with the laws of the release of a Jewish bondmaid. How do I know that I can draw an inference from the Pasuk regarding matters of marriage? So the Yud enables me to go that step further. The Itzurich, now we have a piece of Gemara that we have marked as being a long point. In the Gemara that we've learned, we see that the father is entitled to marriage money. We also learn that the father is entitled to income produced by his daughter. That was derived from a separate pasuk, V'chiyim kor ishes bitolama. Would it not have been sufficient to tell me father's entitlement to one of those monies, and I would have been able to figure out the other one? So at this point, the Gemara says, not so. The itzrich lemichtav kiddusha l'avia. I have to teach you that on its own, that the money goes to the father when he gives his daughter over in marriage. The itzrich lemichtav ma'isya d'avia, and I need to tell you as well that fathers are entitled to income produced by their daughters. And I would not have been able to derive one from the other. The ikos of Rachmana Kiddush Elavia, had we taught father's entitlement to marriage money. Have Amino, I would have thought there the father's entitled to those monies. Mishum Delo Torcha Behu, she didn't exert any efforts in order to achieve that money. Avo Maisi Oda Dekot Torcha Behu, she went out to work. Whatever she did, she exerted efforts. She invested energies to acquire those monies. Ema didohavo, I would have thought that they go to her. So the Torah tells us, v'chiim koishes bitolama, that no, that money that the girl produces as long as she is up till 12 and a half goes to her father. V'yashmina maisyodeah, if we would tell you that work income goes to the father, to call mitzino mine, he, the father, is supporting her. He's investing money in her. He expects something in return. Now, what does he expect in return? He expects that which is to be expected, namely work and work monies that she gets for work. That's a common daily occurrence. Aval kidusheha de me alma ka'asila, but marriage money that a man's mind isn't, a father's mind is not on that. A father is not supporting his daughter in anticipation of marriage money. So ema didohavu, since the father's mind is not on that, maybe that she should be entitled to keep. Therefore, I need the drosha of V'yotzochino Main Kosef to tell me that even marriage money, which was Me'alma Kasi, the father gets. Let's take a look at Rashi, who defines these terms. Rashi that we're looking at, just a couple lines up from here, the Kamitzino Mine, we said the work that she produces from her efforts, the work meaning the income she produces from her efforts goes to the father. The Daite Al Maisi Yoda, his mind is on that, is anticipating that. The Shchicha, it's common, as we said before, it's a daily occurrence. However, the Me'almo Kasila, the Lo Hoiso Daito Alehem, Lo Zuna Bishvilam. The father wasn't supporting his daughter in exchange for monies that would be paid ultimately for her marriage. Therefore, there was thinking that the father is not entitled to that. Therefore, the Pasuk tells me he is. And I, as we said before, I wouldn't have been able to derive that point, marriage money, from the case of income, as the Gemara just demonstrated. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.